what do you like and what do you not like about the bills that have passed either chamber?
Well, the authorization bills is a very important legislation for the Defense Department, for the industry, and so I like the fact that the Congress is moving forward to pass this important legislation. It's got important authorization levels, spending guidance for the agencies. It addresses programs and activities that are really the very mission of the Defense Department. There's also a number of acquisition policy and other broader policy issues in this bill that are helpful if they're enacted.
What in particular are you expecting the conferees, when they sit down and try to hash this out, to be wheeling and dealing on? That's what normally happens in these cases.
Well, it does indeed, and the added challenge now is the calendar. If Congress is hoping to wrap up their work by the end of next week, the 16th is a magic date, not for the authorization bill, but for appropriations matters, then that puts added pressure on the negotiations and the urgency to resolve matters quickly. As a result, and as we've seen in years past, many decisions are made to drop controversial provisions or to significantly modify them so that they don't stand in the way of passage of the rest of the bill.
One of the things that you and I have talked about extensively before is the inherently governmental concept. There was a phrase that snuck into the House bill that I wasn't sure I understood, and that's the term closely associated with inherently governmental. I would think that, and I know that there is gray area there, but it strikes me that that phrase may be creating a little bit more gray area than we already had just with straight up inherently governmental.
Well, you're absolutely right, and used to talk to folks, the Congress and the executive branch, for a long time, we didn't know what the term inherently governmental functions meant. We now have the OFPP guidance that was issued earlier this year, which at least tried to lay out a couple of categories that clearly define work that is to be performed exclusively by federal employees. But without that benchmark, without that standard, you didn't know. If you didn't know what was inherently governmental, you certainly didn't know what is closely associated. And I think that this term has really been crafted over the last couple of years to try to sweep in just a significant amount of work in trying to protect work to be done by federal agencies. To its credit, the Office of Management and Budget said, no. Closely associated work may well be suited for work by the private sector or the public sector, and there's some criteria that the agencies need to go through, some analysis and some thought, not simply reactions. And so we welcome that discussion. We think the language ought to come out of the legislation.
Is there any connection, either intentional or unintentional, to the news that we learned this week about Joanne Mooney at the Pentagon, reminding people essentially don't really be looking for outsourcing opportunities, and we're not really in the A-76 business right now?
Well, her memo was interesting, an accurate depiction, an accurate statement of what the current law is, but at the same time, the Defense Department itself has proposed to lift the moratorium on A-76. Why? Because the department asked for the flexibility as the workforce is coming down. Your other story about the Army, the number of the Army, 8,700 Army civilians coming down, Air Force reductions and announced a couple of weeks ago. The department wanted the flexibility to be able to manage its total workforce, and the A-76 competitive sourcing process is a tool that Congress has taken away from them for the last 3 years. That's why the department wanted it. So I read that memo as a restatement of the current law with some an added phrase that said it was important that the Defense Department strategically plan for its workforce utilization. The timing of it was a little curious to me, but I didn't have any concerns about it. I'm hoping that Congress will follow the department's lead and the Executive Office, the President, the Office of Management and Budget, and lift the moratorium.
I think your characterization of the content is accurate, and I didn't intend to portray it otherwise. That memo is linked up right now on federalnewsradio.com. What do you expect to see, finally, out of this Defense Authorization Act once something finally comes out of the conferees and goes to the president's desk?
Well, over the next 48 to 72 hours, I think that's the window that we'll be looking for the conference to conclude its work and make it the results of its negotiations known. I would expect a bill that closely aligns from a spending side with the Budget Control Act agreement that Congress passed last August in terms of a ceiling. They will have to address some very difficult national policy issues, detainees, Iran. I don't know anything about those. On the acquisition policy issues, I'm hoping that they give the Department of Defense and the industry flexibility to manage in a declining environment. You know, for the last decade, we've seen spending going up. Now it's going down, and the trajectory is down for the next decade. If they tighten the rules to make it more difficult for government to compete and for contractors to compete, it'll further squeeze the industrial base, make the department's choices and flexibilities a lot less.